Good morning. Hope you've all had a fine week. So, as I am setting up, today we are continuing the series in the book of Ecclesiastes. It's one of my more favorite books in the Old Testament. I'm a more, I guess, cynical slash introspective person. So when we're looking through the book of Ecclesiastes, I found a lot of the tones, a lot of the themes kind of jived with me a lot. But our passage today is going to be continuing in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Before we turn over, let's open with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this book. Thank you for allowing us to gather and worship you on a Sunday morning, even though not together physically, but we can gather together online and in one spirit praise you and worship you. Thank you for the books of wisdom that you provided us in the Bible and the words that we can read and glean from to try to apply to our lives. Pray that you'd guide us with your Holy Spirit. Help us to hear the things that you want us to hear, and in Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we are in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 12. So if you flip open to like around the middle of your Bible, you hit Psalms and then Proverbs, and then after that is Ecclesiastes, short little book. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 12. Last week, we opened our series in this book, and we're continuing along through this book of Ecclesiastes. And here at this section, we're going to hit a tone-setting section right after the introduction. So Pearson gave us the introduction last week on what is the general theme of the book, and here we're going to have a little section that gives us a little short monologue that Kohelet, the author of this book, the gatherer or the preacher, is talking about. The next two chapters is probably best summed up not with a main point, but a theme question. Ecclesiastes is a very introspective book, so I wanted to kind of reflect that introspection by using questions instead of main points. And the main point, or the main question that we'll be looking at is this one. Is what you are looking for worth it? Is what you're looking for worth it? And that's going to be the theme that's going to be running through this next chapter or so. Kohelet, or the gatherer, the preacher, we call him Kohelet in Hebrew because Kohelet in Hebrew basically means someone who gathers. So it could be a person who gathers wisdom, or it could be a person who gathers people together to teach and preach. It could be one meaning or the other person, or it could be both. So Kohelet approaches the core question of what is it that you're looking for and is it worth it? He approaches it from two different angles. And today we're going to cover those different angles, which are the concern for knowledge and for pleasure. So those two angles is what he's going to look into as we read along today. So I will start reading in verse 12 of chapter 1. So follow along with me in your Bibles. I, the preacher, have been king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a striving after the wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight. What is lacking cannot be counted. And I said in my heart, I have acquired great wisdom, surpassing all who were over Jerusalem before me. And my heart has had great experience of wisdom and knowledge, and applied to my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this is also but a striving after wind. For in much wisdom is much vexation, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself. But behold, this also was vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad. And of pleasure, what use is it? I searched with my heart how to cheer my body with wine, my heart still guiding me with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the children of man to do under heaven during the few days of their life. I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools from which to water the forest-growing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had slaves who were born in my house. I had also great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any who had been before me in Jerusalem. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the treasures of kings and the provinces. I got singers, both men and women, and many concubines, the delight of the sons of men. So I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. And whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil, and this was my reward for all my toil. Then I considered all my hands that had done and the toil I had expended in doing it. And behold, all was vanity and a striving after wind. There was nothing to be gained under the sun. So as we're looking into these two sections, I want to look at the first perspective, which is, what does gathering knowledge gain you? Which starts in verse 12 to 18. What does gathering knowledge gain you? Qohelet gives us a pretty sad view of gathering knowledge. He says that I applied my heart to seek and to search out wisdom and to know the things that are going on the earth. And the short version of this section is this: I've been there, I've done that, and it wasn't worth it. We can be very hard at work gathering knowledge in order to feel secure. You've heard the phrase, knowledge is power, and it seems to be, in a lot of situations in this world, knowledge is power. By knowing something, you have control or power over a situation, over somebody. The unknown scares us. We don't like being in the dark about things, and sometimes we feel like getting the latest information lets us have little control over the situation. A lot of us will, I know this past week, and I try to keep track of the coronavirus news. I listen to the news briefings, the governor's briefings. I like to read up on different articles of what is the situation like. And reading up on all that, gathering all that knowledge, it feels like it gives me a little bit of control over the situation. I know what's going on out there. But in the end, does it really matter? I will still die at some point. I can't control that. What I know about the virus situation or about the situations of how I'm going to die or when I'm going to die, that doesn't change that I'm going to die. It doesn't change how it's going to happen. Knowing does not give me the ability to change it. What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be counted. Moreover, the more you know, the more you realize that you don't know, like Pastor Pearson said last week. As you gather more knowledge, as you accumulate all this information, you realize how little you actually know about the world and how little you actually have control over anything. With answers comes more questions. You have a question and you search for the answer, you do your research, and you end up in a situation where, yes, you found that answer, but then you've uncovered a lot more different things that puzzle you about the situation, and you end up with some total of more questions than you started with. I'm a scientist at heart, so I like to watch documentaries or listen to the latest breakthrough in news. I remember in college or during graduate school, I would spend a lot of time just watching nature documentaries. That's the kind of personality I have. I like gathering knowledge. I like finding out about obscure different birds in the East Indies or things. So when I listen to these documentaries about either space and science or the deep sea ocean or different islands out off in the ocean, there's a trend that happens a lot of times is the narrator will often go through these episodes and explain what's going on and the questions that they have. But to sum up the discoveries, what happens at the very end of the episode, the narrator often goes, but at the end of the day, we are left with more questions than answers. Perhaps with time, we will discover more of these mysteries. And so at the end of the day, you're coming up to the end of the episode, and he says, here's the answers to some of your questions, but there are a lot more of these questions that we have. And with this, with what we've discovered, we can only say that here is something that we discovered, and here's a whole bunch of other questions that we have left unanswered. So I go to the end of the episode, and you haven't answered most of my questions. So what is the point of you making this documentary and saying that you don't know what you discovered? I've gained a large amount of information, but I end up with more questions in my mind. That's not what I came to the documentary for. I wanted to know things. And then you're telling me that, thank you for coming to watch our show. We don't know anything about these things. For in much wisdom is much vexation, and he who increases in knowledge increases sorrow. Verse 18. As you discover more things, you find it's just, it becomes taxing on your mind to find out how much stuff there is out there that you don't know. And out of the stuff that you do know, you find it's not helpful for your life. It is not encouraging for you. If you read the news nowadays the news is mainly on coronavirus situation. Previously to this, it was about the election and the different ways that the Democrats and Republicans are going at each other. And it's just kind of sad how there's no good news. And before that, it was about different hunger issues or poverty issues. You have things coming up in the news about wars going on around the world or political strife and one leader trying to oust another. It doesn't seem to be any sort of good news in the world. And the more you read the news, you can get more and more depressed and to see, okay, it doesn't seem like the world's in a good place. Let's try to find something on the news that'll encourage me. Well, if you're trying to find something on the news that's going to encourage you, I have bad news for you. It's not going to encourage you because most of the news is going to be depressing and just painting a very vivid picture of how bad the human state is. With more, he who increases in knowledge increases in sorrow, because all you'll find at the end of the day is that there's a lot of bad news out there, and increasing in this bad news doesn't help encourage your spirits. And so Kohelet challenges us, those of us who believe that learning can give us more control over the situation, or that learning can make you feel better about the situation. He gives us an example of, this is what I did. I've been there, I've done that, I've seen all these things, and I learned all these things, and it's all a striving after the wind. It's vanity. What does gathering knowledge gain you? What does gathering knowledge gain you? And now for the second perspective. Kohelet has a lot more to say on the second perspective of pleasure. And this one, I think, might hit closer to home. Not all of us go out searching for knowledge all the time, but there's one thing, if anything, about the American culture, it is one that searches for pleasure. And the second question is, what does searching for pleasure gain you? What does searching for pleasure gain you? There's a quote from a writer. It's been attributed to a number of writers, so we're not sure which one it is. But it has struck me, and it stuck with me. And the quote is this: there are two tragedies in life. Not getting what you want, and getting it. Two tragedies in life: not getting what you want, and getting it. The first part is pretty straightforward. If you've ever been denied something, it feels pretty bad. My daughter is pretty sensitive to what I say, and sometimes I have to tell her no, kindly, but even when I do it kindly, she understands it's a no. And you can see the disappointment just kind of wash over her face as she just crinkles up and is on the verge of tears. And it feels very bad for her to hear me say no to her or say, no, you can't do that. So being denied something can feel like a real big tragedy sometimes. Some of you, you might be older, and you might have had the chance to achieve something, to get something that you want. You might relate more to the second half, where if you've ever chased after a goal in life, especially one that is very hard to get and one that takes a lot of time, and sometimes when you finally get there, you finally accomplish that goal, you find out you're there, you've got it, now what? When I was growing up, there was a lot of times there were toys and games that I wanted to get, that I wanted to ask my parents to get me. We couldn't get all of them, but sometimes my parents would get me one of them. There was one game, it's a Lord of the Rings computer game that I really wanted. That was when Lord of the Rings had first just come out. I was a very nerdy kid, probably still am a nerdy adult. And it was out, and I wanted my parents to get it for me, so I asked them. It cost them around, I don't know, I think $50 or so for the CD game. And it came out, I got it, I played it, was quite happy with it for about a few months, and then after a few months, the second edition of that game came out, and then I realized, this first edition I've got is not that hot. I don't like it anymore. The second edition is so much more cooler. So played it for a few months, and then got the second edition, and then never touched the first edition again. It's still gathering dust somewhere on a shelf in China right now. You see, the problem with getting the new things is that once you get the new things, you realize it's not all that it's hyped up to be, and you get bored of it, and eventually you move on, and the new thing is just left on the wayside. You don't want to touch it anymore. Kohel actually goes through a good detail about what he did and the experiences that he got, and the list is pretty impressive. He does a lot of building projects. He does a lot of gathering things, and he becomes very rich. So you could say that in all aspects, he ends up as a pretty well-off guy. The interesting thing is that even in all his gathering and all his indulging of himself, he makes a note that his wisdom stays with him. And that he's looking at all of these things through the perspective of, yes, I'm feeding my body and my heart and my soul, all these things that my heart desires, but he still has his wisdom guiding him. And he's analyzing, what are the effects that these pleasures are having on myself? You could say he's kind of like a product reviewer. If any of you have had to buy something new, especially if that item is very expensive, you want to check the reviews on it. Nowadays, it's pretty easy. You can either research some reviews online, or you can look at YouTube unboxing videos, and they'll tell you, this is what I like about it, this is what I don't like about it, and then you can compare different items and say, was this one better or is this one better? Should I get this fan that has a light bulb on it, or should I get this fan that can rotate? Even on very small things, you can get product reviews on the best kind of tape out there, anything you want. But Kohelet here is giving us a product review of the pleasures of life. He's doing all these things and getting himself involved in all these activities so that he can tell us what he found out of it. Basically, it's a try it before you buy it, but he's trying it before you buy it so that he can tell you whether or not you're going to like it. Now, in the American Constitution, there's a famous line, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's interesting how the American culture has also been affected so much by these lines of the pursuit of happiness. We are all about making people happy. We are all about making, bringing the most amount of happiness we can to everybody. And it's basically that if something makes me happy, then I should do it. If something makes you happy, then go ahead, you should do it. Gotta do whatever makes you happy. And with how much value the culture puts into pursuing your dreams and your desires, you'd think that the people who have pursued those dreams and desires and the people who have attained all these things that they have, that these goals of happiness, of riches, of fame, that they would be the happiest people on the face of the planet. With more money, maybe would come more happiness, or with more fame and more power would come more happiness. But that doesn't seem to be the case. If you just look at many of the celebrities, even in the United States, you'll find that a lot of them can't seem to keep a marriage together. A lot of them have been involved in drugs. A lot of them have, unfortunately, committed suicide. And a lot of them are not the happiest people on earth. They are constantly searching for something that'll fill their heart. And despite all the attention that they're getting and all the accolades and the riches and the money and the fame, they still feel like they need to do things to get happiness. Why are they so depressed and chasing after attention, even though they have all this stuff and all the attention already? Because pleasure chasing is very similar to addiction chasing. Once you have it, you realize it's not enough, you need more. Now, I'm not saying that just pursuing pleasurable things makes you miserable. Qohelet admits that he has had pleasure in pursuing all these things, that the fruit of the toil, the fruit of all his toil, that he did gain pleasure from this. But pleasure is only temporary. At the end of the day, what is the conclusion that Qohelet comes to? If you look at verse 11, he says, "Then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it. And behold, all was vanity and a striving after wind. There was nothing to be gained under the sun." Nothing to be gained under the sun. So most of us won't ever be in a position like Qohelet was, where he has done massive building projects and he has gathered a whole ton of stuff. So we can't really say like, oh, I've been there and done that. But Qohelet has done, he gathered so many things in his lifetime. He's done so many projects. He basically makes Bill Gates look like a peasant. And many of us are in the business of chasing these pleasures. Many of us are have things that we do want. So we might not be able to achieve the level of riches or grandeur that Qohelet was able to do, but we have our small projects. We have our things that we think are going to make us happy. And what Qohelet is doing in this section here is to ask us to evaluate the things that you are doing for pleasure. A better term that we could use instead of pleasure, we could be used things that you're doing for your entertainment. What are the things that you do for your entertainment? And think about it. What are the things that you pursue after, the things that you think will make you happy? Could it be you just enjoy playing games online? Could it be that you like cooking? Could it be building projects of things that you want to do in your house or your yard? It could be getting nice stuff. Having stuff is nice, and a lot of us like to go shopping and gather more of these things that, oh, that looks nice, I want it. That looks nice, I want it. I would like that too. It might be just promotions. It might not be a material thing. It could be promotions and getting a good status among your friends or peers or your coworkers. It might be winning competitions of, being recognized as the best in this field or the best in your specific area and getting people to respect you for what you do. For some of us, it might not be any of that. All I want is a nice guy-girl relationship with someone. So that might be the thing that you are trying to pursue. We spend hours on Netflix or games. We put so much effort into our social media page, how people look at us. We spend so much time on our personal projects and so much effort to prove that we're better than other people. I'm not saying that these things are bad. I'm not saying that to stop doing them, to be a good Christian, you must avoid all these pleasures in life. You must live a life where you are suffering and unhappy all the time. No, I'm not saying that. But that would be way too easy and simplistic to live that Christian life that way. But what I am asking is, why are we doing all these things? Why are we chasing after these things? What are we looking to gain? As we close out the sermon, I kind of want to leave you with a couple of thoughts and directions for the week. We talked about two things today. We talked about the accumulation of knowledge. We talked about the pursuit of pleasures. Now, this message could very easily be one where I say, now this is what Qohelet found, and he says, it's not worth it. Now, I told you, it's not worth it, so go live that out and do something better with your pleasures in life and pursue something more eternal. But over the years, I found that it's a lot easier. The message sticks a lot better when you find out for yourself. instead of someone else telling you, this is the way to do it, go do it. That's when you discover for yourself, for me, I've discovered that really this isn't the way to do it. It comes from within you, and it is more convincing, it sticks longer, you remember it a lot longer when you have discovered it for yourself. So that's kind of what I want us to do in an exercise for the week. So the exercise is this. When you find yourself pursuing something, whether it be knowledge or control of a situation, or pleasures or happiness or a distraction or something to entertain yourself, ask yourself, why am I doing this? And then ask yourself, is it worth it? Is it worth the time and energy I'm about to put into it? Now, obviously, the second question is going to depend a lot on how you answer the first question, why am I doing this? And I want you to do the exercise honestly. I'm not going to be there to check on you. You're not going to have to report back with a short answer essay on what you found during the week, on the desires that you had and why you did it or was it worth it. But it's between you and God. If you skimp out on it and take a different answer, or if you try to adjust your answers to sound better, then the only one who's losing out on it is you. But I encourage you to look into these and ask yourself these questions. Why am I doing these things for the things I pursue after? And is it worth my time and my energy? And I'm hoping that through doing this exercise, you'll be able to find answers and a better direction, or a good direction for how you are to conduct life and what attitude you are to approach it with and what is really going to be worth your time and energy. A lot of the times we come to the Bible looking for quick fixes and answers to our lives' problems, and we want to get a very catchy quote or a verse from the Bible that said, this is a situation I'm in, let's slap on a verse from here and that fixes the situation. But the Bible isn't that simplistic. Especially the book of Ecclesiastes. The writer of Ecclesiastes, his purpose in writing this book is to challenge our assumptions about what is good in life. Not just by telling us what's wrong with what we're doing, but by asking us to evaluate and experience with him the things that he pursues in life, the things in life that everyone wants to go after. He challenges those by saying, here, let's go on a journey together. I'm going to look at this, and you can come with me and see what is at the end of the road for all these things that we pursue. And his experience says, it's hevel, it's vanity. It's a breath of wind that just fades and disappears. It's temporary. So that's his experience, and he invites us as readers to follow along with him and ask ourselves the question of, what am I doing? What have I chased after? What are the things that I have sought pleasures in or value in life? And do I find it also to be vanity and a chasing after wind? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and we thank you for this book. Thank you that you have allowed the Kohelet, this gather, to experience all these things and write it down and put it into writing so that we can have someone who, the wisdom of someone who has been able to go through these things and tell us his experience. I ask that you would give us a heart that is contemplative this week, to think and to evaluate in our own lives the things that we hold dear, the things that we pursue, and ask ourselves the question, is it worth the time and effort? And also, why? Why am I doing this? For whom am I putting in all this effort? So we ask that you would help us answer these things honestly, and that in our search, that it would drive us to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit to ask, what is it that is important in my life, and what is it that is the priorities that you would like us to focus on? So we thank you for this book of Ecclesiastes, and we just pray in Jesus' name. Amen.